Shark Punk Introduction by Jonathan Green. Sharks. They have demanded our fear and our respect ever since man first braved the oceans. Great whites, hammerheads, makos, tiger sharks, they are the ultimate predators, masters of their watery domain, an environment more alien to our species than the surface of the moon. Indeed, we are so in awe of these creatures that they have entered the mythologies of countless seafaring cultures, taking on terrifying forms. Forms such as the shape-changing Hawaiian Kamohawali and the Fijian fish god Dakawaka. Even the ancient Greeks had their legends of Lamia, the child-guzzling daughter of Poseidon, god of the sea, while the Babylonians believed their own Persian gulf-dwelling Oans taught mankind wisdom, possibly the wisdom to stay out of the water when sharks were about. And we, in the 21st century, have our own modern myths of these oceanic hunters, myths that take the forms of movies such as Steven Spielberg's Jaws. I'd like to say that it was all planned from the start, but it was pure serendipity that led to Shark Punk being published 40 years ago, almost to the month, after the seminal shark movie was first released to great critical acclaim in 1975, a film that has left its psychological scars on mankind's psyche ever since. Perhaps it was something of the zeitgeist. It was a happy accident, a throwaway comment made on Facebook, seen at the right time by the right person, that resulted in this project coming about in the first place. And serendipity has played its part in the formation of the stories within the anthology too. Writers working independently of one another, on opposite sides of the globe in some cases, scribing stories that mirror each other's. Take, for example, Jonathan Oliver's opening tale, Peter and the Invisible Shark, a sinisterly psychological piece that could almost be read as a prelude to Gary McMahon's equally unsettling Silent Waters Running Deep. Then there are the pair of future war-inspired stories, Amy and Andy Taylor's Shirley and Robert Spalding's Rise of the Uber Shark. One is a dystopian tale with a heart, while the other is an unashamedly pulp tribute to the film that inadvertently kick-started this whole enterprise. There are also the darkly, not to say violently, comic Shark Cop 2, Feeding Frenzy by Alex Worley, and Swimming with the Fishes by Stephen Saville, crime stories viewed from opposite sides of the thin blue line. The former is an homage to the 1980s buddy cop movies, while the latter is a love letter to the noir thrillers of the 1930s. A bite it one soaked in blood rather than perfume, and crimped with serrated teeth marks rather than sealed with a kiss. Other stories continue with the crime theme, likening the personalities of psychopaths to the ruthless natural instincts of the great white and its ilk, in the case of Jenny Hills, the serial killer who thought she was a shark, while Richard Salter's Shark Bait was a heist gone wrong page-turner of an entirely different kind. Man's hubris when it comes to nature and science, and the price he will ultimately have to pay, has always been a riptide pull on writers of speculative fiction. Shark Punk has its fair share of such stories too, including Den Patrick's Blood in the Water, Andrew Lane's Blood Relations, and Kim Lakin-Smith's SF thriller Goblin. Several authors have written brand new stories featuring perennially popular characters of theirs for the anthology. Toby Frost's hero of the British Space Empire, Space Captain Smith, encounters a shoal of deadly space sharks in deep black space. Josh Reynolds' royal occultist, Charles St. Cyprian, hunts a ghostly menace beside the seaside in Deep Red Bells. Kit Cox's monster hunter, Major Jack Union, finds himself dealing with the aftermath of illegal whaling activities in Ambergris. C.L. Werner continues to chronicle the adventures of the samurai hero Shintaro Oba in Feast of the Shark God, and David Lee Stone returns to the world of the Ilmore Chronicles in his tale The Lickspittle Leviathan. There are other tales that are harder to categorise, such as David Talaman's The Shark in the Heart, a tale of boys, bullies, and the corrupting nature of power. Ian Waite's story Sharkadelic considers the shark as art, as well as perfectly evolved killing machine, while Laurel Sill's The Shark is a Faustian tale that plays with one of the many idioms that have birthed the likes of Jaws and his Salakian kin, that of the Loan Shark. The anthology concludes with You Are the Shark by Al Ewing and Sarah Peplow, a story that taps into the shared memories of a generation, inclement British seaside holidays, amusement arcades and teenage alienation. 20 stories, 22 writers at the top of their game and a host of sharks. But why gather them all into one book under the catch-all subgenre styling of shark punk? Well, the shark part is easy and has been covered in detail already, but what of the punk? The term punk, particularly when used as a suffix, has come to mean the subversion of whatever comes before it. The punk movement of the 1970s was a reaction against the status quo at the time, characterised by anti-establishment views and the promotion of individual freedoms. More recently, the steampunk subculture has rebelled against the deteriorating manners of a generation and a perceived drop in standards in society at large, focusing on the fashions and etiquette of an earlier age as a way of reacting against deteriorating modern social mores. Shark punk takes the glut of ludicrous shark-themed monster movies of recent years, such as Sharknado, Sharktopus, and the proposed, but never made, Gator Shark vs. Zombie Cheerleaders, and subverts them, dragging up to the surface from the unplumbed depths of the collective subconscious stories that are intelligent, stories that have emotional depth and weight, stories that have something to tell us about the human condition, stories that make sharks frightening again. So, what are you waiting for? Come on in. The water's fine. Jonathan Green, March 2015, London.